بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم had sent letters of invitation towards the Roman emissaries, Roman Empire, Persian Empire. But his address was quite unique. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله. Come towards a common platform between us and yourselves, that we worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't join any partners to Him. A golden principle in the process of invitation and da'wat, that we call and invite, and a Muslim's entire life is that he's a da'wat. Whether it is in speech, whether he is in a group or solitary, whether he is amongst friends, whether he is with strangers, but his entire life is a da'wat. And then da'wat needs to be effective. And for it to be effective, certain conditions have to be conformed to. Namaz is a farz, but for the acceptance of the namaz, you have to conform to certain conditions. Qibla, wuzu, paki, najasat, etc. Then you will find that the namaz is effective. Otherwise a person can say, you know, I'm doing my namaz, but I don't see the effect in the namaz. You will tell him that you're not conforming. The same applies to da'wat or everything else, that you have to conform to certain conditions and requirements for the da'wat to be effective. And minus that conformity, then you can't find that da'wat to be effective. You won't find it like you would desire. You may just distance the person, though your intention is right. لا تسبوا الذين يدعون من دون الله. The Quran says it very, very clearly, that in the process of you inviting, then you don't become emotional to the extent that you begin to pick out insult on other people's religions. You're going to insult his religion, he will insult your religion. You will speak about his idols and you will run them down. He will speak against Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But who has brought that about? You have brought it about. You incited the problem. You feel insulted. Why is he picking out on my Allah? Why is he picking out on my religion? Why is he picking out on my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But did you consider the fact that you had also picked out on his religion? Like these things are very personal to you, then these things are very personal to them. Yes, you can talk about logical things, things that will appeal to the logic. Alright, this is a senseless thing, you can see it for yourself. It can't harm, it can't benefit. لا يضركم ولا ينفعكم. You can see that for yourself. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't respond. That you can see. But then you pick out at their religion and run it down, run them down. Okay. Like you tell them, gods are like dogs, you know, you run them down, you insult them, and then you expect them not to insult you, then it's not right. You are living in a mixed community, and you have to understand that you are living among such people, and you have to guard yourself, that what are you speaking about? Therefore the hadith speaks about the worst person being that person who insults and abuses his own parents. So Sahaba Kiram wanted to know, how can a person ever insult his own parents? So Nabi Sam explained that you insult that person's parents, in turn he insults your parents. But who's the catalyst? Who's the cause? You're the cause. Had you not picked out on his parents, he would have not picked out on your parents. But you started it off, so now he's ending it. Now you want to know why is he picking out on your parents, but you didn't consider the fact that you had also insulted his parents. Okay. So these are certain conditions, there are certain sharait, prerequisites for da'wat. Da'wat, it doesn't mean now just go and do whatever you want, and however you want to call the person, you go and call the person. Sometimes in the process, you are trying to suppress one fitna, and you will give rise to 10 fitnas. Because you don't know the procedure. You don't have the understanding of how to do it. So when you don't have the understanding of how to do it, then you will just imitate someone or the other. Sometimes a certain thing is confined to a certain circumstance, a certain person. Right? If that person has done it, then it will work for him. Either because of the level of sincerity that he's got, or because of his position. He's got that level of sincerity. So if he's done something at that position, at that level of sincerity, it will work for him. But if you do it, you will be just imitating, trying to imitate what he's doing. You're not doing it with that level of insincerity. Shah Raham Ilahi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. All these awliya, you will find that they have some type of opposition. Some spokes in the work, some spanner in the work. There isn't any friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who did not have some spanner in the work. Ja'alna li kulli nabiyin aduwan. Every nabi had an opposition. So the friend of Allah ta'ala is the representative, he is the naib and the deputy of the nabi. So when he is the deputy of the Nabi, then he must also get some difficulty, some spanner, some difficulty, some obstruction on the way. He will definitely experience it. So he also had some oppositions and people wanted to spite. See. So what they did is they organized a concert and a music gathering right in the way to the masjid. The whole mindset is to incite him, to hurt him, to incite him, to put him in his place. No, he's becoming too pious. So let's put him in his place. So that's the whole catalyst, that's the reason for them doing it. So they got this whole thing carrying on, this whole musical festival, and right on the way to the masjid. So the Shah Sahib has seen that this is what's going on, and this is going on right in the vicinity of the masjid. It's not the right thing. But he's thinking to himself that how do I stop it? If I stop it, then how do I stop it? Such a huge gathering, 1,000 people, myself, one solitary person, and how can I go and stop such a thing like that? So when you have that concern in your mind, when you have that type of sincerity, that type of concern, that type of earnestness within your mind, then Allah Ta'ala inspires you. So he says, who's the main attraction here? The main attraction is this girl that is dancing to the tune. She's the main attraction. If you push her down, then the whole thing will come down. The whole thing will collapse. Like she's the main column, central column in the ijtima. You push that down, the ijtima is ended up, finished. So just try and collapse the central column and the whole thing will collapse. So he went up, took out his chumpal, took out his shoe. He cut through the entire crowd, came up right to her, and started smashing her down. She finished. Now, you can't sing. If someone is hurting you, and you are in pain, so you can't sing. Can you sing? You're crying, and you're moaning, and groaning, so you can't sing. You can only sing if you are in a good spirit, in a good mood, then you can sing. But you're crying, you're moaning, you're groaning, you can't be singing. Like you can't sing, within your mind can you sing? You can't sing. For you to sing, you need to sing with a voice, right? Similarly, to be able to sing, you need to be spirited. You're not spirited, you can't sing. So now she's groaning in pain, and she's humiliated like this in front of all that audience. So she can't sing any longer. Now they really felt hurt. Shah Sahib, he did whatever he did, and he came out of the gathering. Now the spectators, you see, is inciting. You get this crowd, you get this element in the community who wants to incite trouble, wants to bring out trouble, spur up problems. Where there is no problem, you want to create problems. So you get that element always. So they are spurring this woman up. You see, you didn't come in her way, in his way. And it was your right. You have a democratic right. You need to express your feelings. He had no right, no business to come and smash you down like this. You go and sue him, file a report against him, and we are 1,000 people here. We will all bear testimony. We will all be the witness that he had no business to come and hit you like this. And we'll put him in his place. Send him to prison and we'll put him in his place. But when a person is working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will guide the person right through. Allah ta'ala will guide him. Ye karo, ye na karo. Do this, don't do this. Do this and don't do this. Allah Pak will guide him right through. Idea is that you'll work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have that level of sincerity, have that level of ikhlas, and then you see Allah ta'ala's hand in the whole thing, in the whole business, you'll see Allah ta'ala's hand. No matter what work you are doing, but do it with that level of sincerity that I'm doing it for Allah ta'ala. He has asked me to do it, I'm doing it for him. Now, in this month of Qurbani, then this is what is to be seen. Are you doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you've got some other reason? What are you doing it for? You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're doing it for any other reason? So you need to cleanse that intention all the time. Allah ta'ala doesn't want to see the amount. He doesn't need to see what amounts you're giving. No, what type of qurbani you are giving, He doesn't want to see that. And He doesn't need to see it. Because it's His creation, after all. Front of him is not even a wing of a mosquito. So he doesn't attach importance to what, to the amount that you are sending. Yes, what he really appreciates, it's what the level of the quality. What is the level of that? Is there some quality in it, or is this without a quality? Is it just a big frontier without anything? Is it a hollow thing, or is it filled up with sincerity and love? What is it? So Allah Ta'ala wants to see this. And when He sees this, then He appreciates this. One Buzurg is going to meet his friend. And they had a statement, they had a principle amongst themselves that jo khali jata hai, to wo khali wapas aata hai. The one that goes empty, he comes back empty. Now people have misconstrued it, and how they construed it, that the one that goes empty-handed, then he comes back empty-hearted. Now that's the, how they misconstrued it. But the real explanation is, the one that goes out void of sincerity, is void of ikhlas, then he comes back void as well. So that's the real explanation. Now how they misconstrued it, now you go without anything, you'll come back without anything. So how you need to be going is you need to be going with absolute sincerity. Keep on checking your level of sincerity, what you are going for. Is there any other agenda here? Or is it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are going for? So this insincerity has to be checked up all the time. Sometimes it happens that people come to the mashayikh and they've got different agendas. Sometimes I've got problems at home and I need to sort that out. So I'll sit down here, get some barakat and things will work out for me. Sometimes the business is not going well, so let me sit down, let me come here, get some barakat, the business will start rolling. I don't say that worldly barakat is not something to be desired, right? All of us want some type of progress, some type of barakat, we all want that. But that's not the reason why you come here. Right? That's not the reason why you come here. Someone has undertaken the journey right to the Baytullah, and they is holding the Kaaba Sharif, like I have seen one person holding the Gilaf at the Multazam. Allah Ta'ala, meri dukaan chale, Allah Ta'ala, meri factory chale. He's holding the Kaabatullah Gilaf right at the Multazam. I seen the person. Meri dukaan nahi chal rahi, meri factory nahi chal rahi, mera karkana nahi chal rahi, Allah Ta'ala, chal jaye. So, the whole fikr, the whole concern is the barakat of the factory, the shop, whatever else. And the fact that he's saying the karkhana and business and all that, that means he's loaded. But he wants an extra load. Will he be able to manage that extra load? Allah Ta'ala is giving him in moderation. Not because he wants an extra load. You know, sometimes I joke with people. They say, no, Mawla, big dua for business must progress, you know. I ask, how many children you got? Two. But you ask for more children. If you want more business, do you want more children also with it? No, we don't want that. What about the load? Without the children. But you only got two, so what you want? So much you want, and you got so little responsibility, but you want so much. For what? What's the business for? See, we need to analyze, brothers. We need to analyze, we need to reason. I don't say we don't need the barakat. But we go to these places with special agenda, special mindset. What we are going for? We're going to the Baytullah. The Baytullah is Hudal Linnas. It's a place of hidayat. It's a place of barakat. Fi ayatum bayyinatun. Right? So, it is a place of guidance. You come to the mashayikh, you come to the friends of Allah Ta'ala, then you're coming for guidance. What you're coming for guidance? You're coming for a direction. Direction for what? Direction to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is the primary purpose. So, jo khali aye, jo khali had aye, to wo khali had jaye. In other words, you're going void of any sincerity and ikhlas. Then you will go back empty-handed. You're going with different reasons. Now you think, my things are not working out for me. Why aren't they working out for me? But did you see, did you try and examine the intention that you're coming? Without inspecting the intention and you're just saying, no, things are not working out for me. Really, your intention wasn't right. So, these people, what they examine and what they see is what was the level of the intention. What was the intention? Intention is right, then they really appreciate it. No matter who is the person that's coming in, but he's coming with a good heart. Is Ja'a Rabbahu biqalbin salim. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah speaks about him. Is Ja'a Rabbahu biqalbin salim, with a sound, clear heart. Allah also appreciates it so much that he's recorded in the Quran Sharif. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Come with a clear, clean, sound heart is come with. See, I say that people work with agendas, you know. In 1930s, when they were working for the freedom of India, so you had different political movements at that time. Different political movements you had. And you had the Congress, you had the Muslim League, you had a different. So, one of the leaders that was leading one of those parties was Gandhi, right? Now look at the strategy, how they work, how they connive, how they work. So this Gandhi now, he wants to enhance his party. But he needs to understand also that in my party there are Hindus and there are Muslims. I can't disregard the Muslim, and nor can I allow my own people to be suppressed. I need not to balance the both, the Muslim and the Hindu. Right? So he goes on, he speaks about Islam. He says, you know, first, initially, I had a very low opinion, a very low regard of Islam. Very low regard I had for Islam. Because when I looked at Islam first, I saw that it was only for Muslims. The success of the hereafter is only for the Muslims, only confined to them. There is nothing for the non-Muslim. So no matter what you do, how humanitarian you may be, how generous you may be, how good you may be, how just you may be, how kind you may be, but you don't have Islam, then you have no share of the hereafter. So, at that time I felt averse towards Islam, because Islam has got nothing for the non-Muslim. But then I saw so-and-so's book, you know, so-and-so Muslim leader now, I saw his kitab, and he says, no, as long as you are good, you are kind, you are just, you are generous, then you also will equally share from the prosperity of the hereafter like the Muslim. Now, when I saw this, now who's speaking, Gandhi speaking, said, so now, I felt very comfortable with Islam, really comfortable with the Muslims. Now the unwary Muslim, he is taken that Gandhi up to the skies. And he says, no, if there was a Nabi after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it would have been Gandhi. See what happened to him. Now, I ask you, with this one statement of his, is there a need of Islam? Is there a need for Islam then? No, you can be anything. You can be Hindu, Satanist, you can be Shaitan, you can be anything. As long as you're generous, you're good, you're kind, then you've got the prosperity of the hereafter. Right? But in the meanwhile, what has happened to this Muslim, whoever has written the book, he had to curry favor with this Gandhi. Because you see now, he is the main person. He is the leader. When he is the leader, I need to curry favor with him. If I curry favor with him, if he wins, then I can also gain as well. I will get that position, I will get that material gain. So how can I get that material gain if I curry favor with him? And now this is a very, very dangerous position. You see, when we think about sincerity, we confine it to Buzrugan ad-Din, Awliya, Madrasa, etc. This is how we will restrain, how we will confine it. But we don't understand that the sincerity applies to every situation. Around 88, 87, our students used to be going to high school, some of them. Majority used to be in the boarding, but there was a percentage that used to be going to the high school. And I used to insist on the students that they must wear topis. At least that's an identity, you know. Otherwise, there is nothing that is identifying a Muslim from a non-Muslim. You know, one person came to the madrasa. So he felt, hey, you know, I felt very, very uncomfortable in this environment, you know. I felt very disorientated, very disillusioned. I came here through all those students, not a single one had the heart to make me salam. No one had ever greeted me with assalamu alaikum. So I sat him down and said, your apologies and all that formality, how like people do that formality, you know, sorry for that, whatever, whatever. But I asked him, Chacha, you know, you came in like this, but did you come in with a topi? So no, I hadn't come in with a topi. So I told him, but you know, some days back, some friend had to phone, and on the receiving end was a non-Muslim, see. And now, like how it is customary, when we start off a conversation, we say, Assalamu alaikum. That person turned around, he felt intimidated, and he said, morning. With a little bit of a firm voice. Because you could see now he's expressing that he's feeling intimidated. That if I'm a non-Muslim, then why are you forcing your Islam onto me? Why are you forcing your Islam onto me? Like, if someone greeted you, for example, with namaste, right? You would feel very, very offended. Okay, what do you think of me? You think I'm a Hindu? So you feel very offended. The same thing must have happened to him. So now you come through the madrasa, and did you have a topi on your head? So no, I didn't have a topi. So now these children must have been apprehensive. Okay, if we greet him with assalamu alaikum, he may feel intimidated. So how can we greet him with assalamu alaikum? Now, is it the fault of these innocent children that they don't know that you are a Muslim because you don't have any identity, or is it your fault? So anyway, I was talking about this children that were going to school at that time, to the high school. I insisted on them, no, you need to take admission here, condition you must wear a topi. You must have an Islamic identity. Otherwise, now you're getting into a gathering. Now, how would you expect that person to identify you? He won't identify you as a Muslim. He'll identify you as a kafir. So he'll greet you mourning. So, do you want to mourn or do you want to be happy? What do you want? You need to make up your mind. You want to be happy, then you need to identify yourself with Islam. You need to identify yourself with Muslims. So you need to have some type of identity to show that, no, I am a Muslim. And I'm happy to be a Muslim. I'm not feeling humiliated. I don't feel inferior. No, I'm a Muslim. I feel respectable. I feel honored when people consider me to be a Muslim. So anyway, I was insisting on the students that at least this is the least that I want from you, that you must wear the topi, you don't wear a tie, and you see to it that you read your namaz on time. So these were the three requisites that I had. Anyway, the principal took exception to this. He called me. He had a full board meeting. All high school and all the teachers were there. I was called in. Now I'm one single person that is speaking here. And I don't know the style. I haven't been to Matric. Only 6, 7 I've been to. So now they they, for a whole board meeting, then they want to speak to me, discuss this thing with me. Allah Pak gave me the strength. Right. Alhamdulillah, I didn't feel inferior. I didn't feel like they are more educated, so I need to buckle under their pressure. I didn't feel like that. Allah Pak gave me the strength. Now the principal began the address, you see. The principal's address, he started. In his address, what he says, you know, I'm very impressed about Islam, you know, and I start off my day reading the Quran Sharif. And if I don't read the Quran, I don't feel good for the day. Now, I know that this was a pure bribery, emotional blackmail. I knew that. Now, I can't be so backward, that you're so thick, you can't be that you don't understand that this person is bribing you. Now, that was the first, that was the opening line. You know, I feel very inspired, whatever. I can't tell him, this is a bribery. I have to just keep in my mind. But understand now that this person is wanting to sell me something. You see, that bribery doesn't have to be in rands and cents only. It doesn't have to be in material. Can be in, doesn't have to be in kind all the time. It can be in words also. So I said, alright, what's the problem? So he says, no, your students and they're wearing topis and all that. And then this topi here, what is the position of a topi in Islam? So I'm thinking to myself, this is a Hindu, is a kafir, is a non-Muslim, right? I can't explain to him what is faraz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, mustahab, haram, and all. He doesn't know, right? These are all technical terms, and he won't appreciate all these technical terms. So I can't explain it to him in that level. But then I need to get across to him. But how do I get across to him? That he will understand and appreciate what I'm saying. Because in the circumstance, is the only identity of the Muslim. It's so important that the man may consider you to be a kafir. Would you appreciate the fact that someone considers you, believes you to be a kafir? So it's so important to a Muslim that he needs to have an identity. He needs to have the topi at least, that people, anybody you ask, or someone wearing topi, or they'll say mosque hat, whatever, but they will identify you as a Muslim. So I had to think now, very quickly, on the spot, I have to think now, how to answer the person. So with the grace of Allah, I told him, see, the importance of a topi in a Muslim's life is equal to the importance of your trouser. Now, agar wo kahega to kya kahega? He can't say, now I can pull out the trouser. Can't say that. He pulls out the pants, he's not a man. So immediately he had to buckle. Now, he kept quiet. Now, this is the point that I wanted to bring up. Now, in that staff, there was one Muslim. And he was teaching English or something, whatever. Now, this is where I say that sincerity counts. See, for them to get a little bit of a promotion, they need to curry favor with the principal. The principal needs to give a good record about them. Right? And I had this in several encounters where it's a meeting with school principals, etc. And there's a Muslim there. I just hate that a Muslim should be around. Because he will do something to curry favor with the principal. Something or the other he will do. Now, this is personal experience. You rather talk to a kafir, because he can't have any answers for you. And here, he will try and mix up both things, Islam and kufr and whatever the principal's agenda is, he will walk towards it. He will work towards it. You don't know where his loyalties lie, whether it lies with Islam, or it lies with Hinduism. Where it lies, you don't know. So now, in that meeting, that Muslim teacher, now he's a matric teacher, teaching English, etc., so he had to say, no, we contacted Mr. Didat. And Mr. Didat says that it is an optional thing. So again, I have to think about it very carefully, how I answer this one. Because in the eyes of that kafir, Mr. Didat is a hero. He's done something great for Islam. So I have to keep that image for him. Whatever it is, whatever he did. But he must think that he's a hero. I can't belittle him in their eyes. But by the same token, I can't compromise my stance. I need to keep firm on this as well. I should see, undoubtedly, Mr. Didat, he's an expert in comparative religion. Talk to him about, he talks about Christianity and Islam, you must just listen to him. What he's saying is absolutely to the point. And he'll direct you correctly there. So now it's all kafirs that are sitting here. So that message is going. But in theological matters, then he's not an expert. He may just say from what he's, from little book knowledge that he's got. He's not an expert, you know, he didn't specialize in that. So it may be an oversight. Now, if you use this type of words, stupid words, you know, say the man made a gross error or that, which is oversight. It's all the play with the English words, you know. English words, sometimes, you know, you think about it, really it's just a play of words. Play of words, you know. Sometimes you're giving a small message with such complicated words, that person says, hey, I thought, man, you know, it's too much. My friend was saying, you know, he wrote a composition. So the teacher had to write a comment, you know. So the teacher's comment was, it's a conglomeration of unjointed facts. So I get it's such a simple thing in Gujarati Urdu, you would have said it, ye be jor baate hain. So simple you could have put it. But I had to say it in such a complicated language, you know, it's a conglomeration of unjointed facts. I say it. Once asmane ponche, you don't know, Allah Pak knows best. So anyway, this is what with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I told him that, see, he's an expert in that, he specializes in that. But in this, he's not specialized. So he must have got a fact from this book or some other book, and that is not the preferred verdict. The preferred verdict is what I'm telling you. Alhamdulillah, that whole thing ended this day. He couldn't further the discussion. Because you know now, if I'm going to talk something, now the Hinduism and Christianity is on the firing line. They already got fired once, so let's get fired even more. So he asked to just stop the conversation there and then. But what I'm showing you is, you see, the sincerity counts at every level. We think that sincerity counts only in Tabligh Jamaat, ikhlas and whatever else. No, no, it counts in every level. In your business, it counts. In your discussion with these people, it counts. In political circles, it counts. Are you coming there with some other agenda, or are you coming in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are you coming with? So anyway, what I'm showing you in this Gandhi episode is that this Muslim person had a different agenda. His agenda was to curry favor with Gandhi. And how to curry the favor? He says, no, you know, this is what Islam has to say. So as good as he must have been trying to be, but what he has done, he has messed the whole thing up. So is there a need for Islam then? There's no need for Islam. Just be good, be humanitarian, be generous, be honest, be kind, and you will get the success, the prosperity of the hereafter. You see that, how he's messed up things. And you see the importance of sincerity at every level, any given level, but you have that sincerity. So we don't just confine it, restrict it to one area, namaz, or we're giving some sadaqah or whatever, and we restrict that area to our sincerity. No, overall, comprehensive, complete, absolute sincerity. So we say about this Bizurg, you know, and he's going to visit his friend, and he's got it in his mind, okay, you know what, I'm going here, and my heart desires that I take something for him. This Bizurganuddin, they look at the level of sincerity and love. They will appreciate the person coming empty-handed with absolute sincerity, than the person coming with loads but no sincerity. Or it's just a formality. No, I have to come, so I'm coming with something. I'm coming with something. No. So what they appreciate is what level of sincerity, commitment, loyalty, love you've got. So this is what is meant. You come empty-handed, you go empty-handed. But you come with that sincerity, you're going with sincerity. You're going back, loaded, you're going back. So on the way, he's thinking to himself, all right, I'm going here, now what must I take? So he says, no, all right, I will take, see, I don't have anything with me. Let me just cut some firewood and take that. So he takes that firewood and he goes. That Buzurg, he's so impressed. He looks at the level of the sincerity. See, we are going through Bakrid now, right? So correct our intentions. Improve our intention. Whatever the intention may have been in the past, but now try and improve on it. Whatever is past, make istighfar for it. But now try and improve. Work on that. So that Buzurg is so impressed. He says to his khadims that are around there, he said, you see, use this firewood that he's brought. Keep it here. Keep it stacked up and don't ever use it. The day I die, use it for my ghusl water. Warm that warm my water, guzzle water with that firewood. See how much he appreciated. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's thinking to himself, you know, that I need to make some sadaqah and pass on the sawab to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, we make sadaqah and we pass on the sawab, perhaps to our parents, to our beloved, our dear, near ones. But he's thinking to himself, alright, I need to send something for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. And that is what a Muslim is supposed to be doing. We read Durood Sharif, what is it? It is an appreciation. So sadaqah is also an appreciation, a token of appreciation for what Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has done. Though we believe that everything happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Sharia demands that the avenues through which these favors have been passed on to you, you need to respect those avenues. So the avenue that this thing came to you, so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter the ulama, awliya, buzugan ad-din, da'in, whoever it was, then through them it had come. Right? So the Sharia demands that you respect those avenues. You don't disregard those avenues. Right. In your heart, you have got this conviction that it is by the grace of Allah Ta'ala that this has happened. But you also have an obligation towards those avenues that brought those favors to you. Otherwise, you could tell your parents, though, to hell with you people. It was Allah Ta'ala that had brought me. What are you? You are nothing. You are just enjoying yourself. I just came by accident. You have said this type of statements. Couldn't you have made these statements? But the Sharia demands that no, you respect the actual giver and the one that has been the means for you to enjoy that favor, you respect him as well. In your business, the worker can also tell very well, you know what, you're not paying me, you're not giving me, Allah Pak is giving me. Who are you? Will you appreciate that? No matter how great a Muslim and what levels of yaqeen you've got, but you will never appreciate that. Bhai, what he thinks of me? What this person thinks of me? So, in every institution, in every operation, the one that is the means, we need to respect them. Whoever it is, but you need to respect it. We understand it, and we do live with that. Right? Whether it is in the Arab world, whether it is in the non-Arab world, everybody. They in the Arab world, and say the king now, one Juma now, you don't say, Khadimul Haramain, see what happened. Huh? Don't make dua for the Khadimul Haramain in the Qunut and all that, see what happened. So you have to mention, you have to include the Khadimul Haramain somehow or the other. One week can't pass without the Khadimul Haramain's name coming in. Right? Although they speak so hard about Iman and Yaqeen, whatever it is, but the Khadimul Haramain has to come in somehow. He has to come in somehow or the other. In the newspapers, you must see Khadimul Haramain first. In the headlines, you must see it. Radio, you must see it. Television, you must see it. So what is this? They also, you could say, this is shirk. Can't you say this shirk? Yeah, you're saying, you know, it's worshipping of a saint, there is a worshipping of a king. I tell you, there isn't an operation which doesn't work like that. Whether it is the awliya-i kiram, whether it is the madaris, whether it is the dawat work, but you will have to respect the head. You'll have to appreciate him. You have to recognize him. You have to acknowledge him. And the more recognition you will give to the head, and the more progress you will find. No, our akabir said it. Abu Zuganuddin said, this is what we're getting from our akabirs. Don't we say that? We say that all right through, right across the board, we say this. So, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now, understand these things in perspective. It's why I'm saying this. Is sometimes someone gives a fiery talk. Allah Pak does, Allah Pak does. And then the person that is listening now is talking, he's the gatherer. He says, oh, Allah Pak does. Then what about all these things here? You know. He's getting confused, he's getting complicated, what about all this? So he doesn't know how to put things in its place. So you have the conviction that Allah Ta'ala does, but the same Allah Ta'ala that does is telling you that respect this means. Anishkur li wali walidayk. The Quran Sharif is saying, Allah Pak is saying it, that you respect me, you appreciate me, and the means of your existence. So it's a divine command. Anishkur li wali walidayk. So he feels to himself, you know, I need to do some sadaqah work and pass on the sawab to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he's done that sadaqah, or he's about to do that sadaqah, and he wants to pass on that sawab. And he tells his khadim, just wait. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because he's engaged in dua. So the qadi must know that after he's done that sadaqah work and passed on the sawab, said, but why did you ask me to halt a little bit? You know, you asked me just to halt. He says, no, I was engaged in dua, and I could see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I could see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And precisely at the time that I wanted to do that work, my brother Ali Sabir, Alauddin Ali Sabiri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he had also presented some chana as sadaqah for the sawab to be passed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? He had done it precisely at the time that I was doing it, he was doing the same thing. So I could see Rasulullah is taking with so much of happiness, right? So I didn't want to interrupt. Rasulullah is taking with so much of love and so much of attention. Now the point that we need to understand that in India, Pakistan, if you go, that is the food of the poorest man, chana. Is the food of the poorest person. But Rasulullah is appreciating this, accepting this with so much of relish and so much of happiness. In other words, at the level of sincerity he was doing it, Rasulullah appreciated it. So the same that happens with our qurbani and our works of charity, whatever we are doing, it's not the quantity, it's not the personality. I see this madrasa or this personality or this whatever, and because of the personality or because of whatever else, and I'm doing that type of work. So it's a mixture of a personality and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it be absolutely sincere. Let it be based on muhabbat, on love and sincerity only. And then you see how it grows. I don't say you don't support these type of institutes or this type of whatever dini works, but let this just include that aspect of sincerity. Or let it be founded on sincerity. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. The masjid that was found upon the principles of taqwa is more deserving that you stand therein. وَلَاكِ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. That blood doesn't reach Allah Ta'ala. The meat doesn't reach Him. It is that condition of the heart. What is the level of the heart? What is the level of sincerity? What is the sincere level of love? Are you doing that with a level of love, or are you just doing it as a formality now, one of the things that I have to do? No. It's that feeling that Allah Pak sees. It's that heart that Allah appreciates. It's that heart that counts most in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see that heart, how much Allah ta'ala appreciates. This agenda business, really it's a very dangerous business. And when we don't understand this, then sometimes we become an agenda, we become a part of the next man's agenda. He's got an agenda for himself. You become a part to his agenda. Now, you hear about these things happening very commonly. You've got a jalsa going on, or you've got an awards day going on, right? Are the awards going? So the parents are invited, they will come to the awards, right? But what's happening there, Allah Pak knows. Now recently there was something going on about awards day, right? And they got men on the one end and they got women on the end, and next end, in between is just a passage. So they can see the woman can see the men. Both are sitting there. On the stage they got some learned pious people, so-called recognized pious people. And you got women sitting on the stage for the admiration of all the spectators there. And the one that is delivering the talk is also a woman. Oh, she's a graduate from our institute, right? She's a graduate from here, and she's addressing. So the institute also feels very proud about it. Right? Then the awards, you'll get a pious, learned person coming up, and he's dishing out the awards. Oh, this Apa is coming, Jamila Apa is coming, Sajid Apa is coming, Majid Apa is coming, and that Buzrug is coming and giving the awards. So, what does the audience feel? No, the parda is not such an important issue, you know. How they make it to be is not so important. The main thing is the heart. The heart mustn't feel any corrupt feelings. You see how the whole crowd gets confused. On the one side, you say, no, I must make parda, observe parda, don't intermingle, don't talk to them, keep a distance, talk about all that. And then, on the other end, this is what we are doing. So doesn't it create a confusion? And you are creating a confusion in the name of Islam. Then now to Islamicize the whole thing, you see, to make it Islamic now, flavored, you see, flavored with Islam, you know. Like you got, you know, soya beans, right? You made kebab out of it. So you flavor it with some meat flavor. Don't you do that? So this is what's happening. It's artificial. It's artificial, just flavored with Islam. At the end, you got a Molana now, making a dua, Al-Fatiha. Everything is halalized, everything is Islamized, sanctioned and approved. Now what is this? What is this? This is an adulteration. Really, you adulterated the whole Islam. The whole Islam is adulterated, really. But what happens to the whole public? The whole public is confused now. They don't know, this is right, not right. Is it the good thing, is not the good thing? What is it? So when a person is sincere, Allah guides him. Really, Allah guides him. There was a youngster, some Motala youngster, passed away last Friday or something, right? Not this Friday, something. But Allah Ta'ala blessed him. He just changed his life. Whether Tabligh Jamaat or whatever it was, whoever went and spoke to him, or how he changed life, Allah knows. But he just changed his life. Just changed life, put on a kurta, kept shut, keeping a beard. Right? Then he's perhaps reasoning within himself, what are the areas that Allah won't like? So one thing after that, he's leaving it out. Pants above the ankles, correct libas, correct clothing he's wearing. Then as he is analyzing within his mind, he is thinking, some things Allah Pak doesn't like. Let me think about what Allah Pak doesn't like. Because I don't know, death and life is a reality, and when it can come, it's no man's guess. So as he's thinking, he says, no. You know these things here that will lead me to haram, this porn, internet, and television, this will also lead to haram sometime. At some point, it will lead to haram. So let me just take it and throw it away. It's a young boy. He's just starting off his youth, you know, 27, 28 years of age. Just starting off with that. But Allah Ta'ala inspired him. And inspiration comes because of the sincerity, because of the truth. He's truthful. He's sincere about the whole thing. Allah Ta'ala will inspire him. Allah Ta'ala will show him, do this, don't do it. Right. So he does this, he throws all these things away, finished. And the following morning is a Friday. He goes to prepare for Jummah, ghusl, put on the kurta, itar, etc. And he just came out, raised his hand, Allah, 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 aur khuda ke pyare ho gaye, in that. What a beautiful ending. Whatever he's done, but the man must have been totally sincere. I feel he had been totally for Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala gave him such a beautiful, sweet end. Haji Ahmad Nakhuda sahab, Medina Munawara. Once I was there, and one youngster from London, he's asked for some advice. So Adi Sahib told him, see, that I was by the Sheikh Ahmed Talib, and formally I wanted to enroll in a madrasa and learn kitabs, etc. Formal, I wanted to do it in a formal way. So the Sheikh Ahmed Talib told me, you see, now you're a little bit aged, right? You're over 45, 50. And apart from that, you've got so many children. Then you'll have some responsibilities to take care of the children, of the wife, family, etc. You've got all these responsibilities. I do appreciate the fact that you want to study, your enthusiasm to increase your knowledge. I do appreciate all that. But let me show you an easy way. At your age and in the circumstance that you are in, let me show you an easy way that you will gain the same thing. He says, the Quran Sharif says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ Fear Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will teach you. You fear Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will teach you. See, when that fear of Allah Ta'ala, that is there in your mind, yeah? That fear is Allah Ta'ala, of Allah Ta'ala is in your mind, then it will guide you, it will take you around. You know, do this, don't do this. Don't do this, don't do this. Whether it's in your talk, whether it's in your advice, whether it's in your conduct, whether it's in whatever. But you have got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind. One person I was sitting and talking to, you know, and he's outwardly seemed like a very pious person. A little bit educated in Islam. You know, nice beard, everything. So I congratulated him, mashallah, Allah Pak has given you. May Allah Ta'ala increase the favors. So he says, you know how this favor came to me? So all this wealth, how it came to me. I said, telling me very proudly. He says, you know, a certain friend of my grandfather had come to my grandfather. His grandfather's friend had come to him, and he wanted to buy a certain property. So my grandfather had just discouraged him. In the meanwhile, he went and bought that property himself. And that is where he just struck a gold mine and never looked backwards afterwards. Now he's telling me very, very proudly. Now is this in keeping with taqwa? I say, all that wealth you got, but I don't think you'll ever have happiness. But my guess of that person is exactly what I'm saying. From that day that I seen him 30 years ago till now, there's no happiness. He's got whatever he's got. But there's that deep level of satisfaction within himself, his family, his children. He doesn't have it. As more time is up, Ramadan says, you see that taqwa, that deep down sincerity, that consciousness, awareness of Allah Ta'ala. So Mawla says, I was badly in need of a home. And I needed that home desperately, just next door to me. I wanted something. So I was longing if something was going, I would have bought the thing. In the meanwhile, my luck struck. My neighbor came up and he says that I've just graduated some profession, whatever. And in order for me to prosper in my profession, I have to go to a central place like Delhi. I can't, in a village, in a farm place like Isnambar, I can't do anything here, obviously. I have to go to a central place. Right? Delhi where everything is, you know, there's all businesses carrying on. So I'll be appreciated, I'll make some good money for myself. So now, I need to relocate. I thought of selling. So before I sell, I thought, let me come and ask your advice, what you feel about it. Must I sell and relocate? What must I do? So, before I give the answer, if it was one of us, hey, see, I trusted Allah Pak made everything work for me. Ghaib se meri nusrat ho gayi. Maine kisi se manga bhi nahi, kisi se pucha bhi nahi. See that. That is the chore, that is the thief within us. But I didn't ask anybody, I didn't stretch my hand, I didn't go to him, I didn't tell him anything. Allah Pak put it in his heart, I must buy the thing now. Now, these people have got taqwa, and they are truthful with Allah Ta'ala. See, wattaqullahu yuallimukum Allah. You fear Allah Ta'ala and He will guide you. He will take you. He will teach you. He will take you forward. But you fear Him like how you need to fear Him. Haqqa tuqati. How you need to fear Him. At the level that you need to fear Him, you fear Him at that level. Not just a superfluous, not just artificial. So Mawla's advice to him was, you see, sometimes a person gets into a profession, into a job, right? And for some reason, after a year or 2 years, he's not happy, he's not comfortable. And when he's not comfortable, and he has, the meanwhile, sold out completely. Now, where does he go and settle? So I feel, no. Until you're absolutely not comfortable, 20 years, 30 years, and you're absolutely dead sure, and you have established yourself there, then only must you resell, must you sell. But before that, you don't know where you stand. You sold this, and you're not comfortable there also. Where are you? You're in the lurch now. See that? So this is that level of taqwa that we are talking about. Mawlana says about himself again, is not to impress, not impress, it's lessons. What? When this Buzurganuddin and Uliya Ikiram, when they speak at this level, then my heart says that it's not to impress on you, not to advertise for themselves, and not for you to get impressed and carried away because of the level of taqwa. Let's get it out of our minds. But if Mawlana didn't share these experiences, then would we have learned? We wouldn't have learned. He's sharing these experiences with us, that alright, you will get into a situation. How are you going to conduct yourself? What are you going to do with your life? So he says that I had gone to Lucknow and some Kishore or something, some prominent Hindu at that time, his whole family had accepted Islam. Now they accepted Islam and they had heard about Mawlana Thaim Rahmatullah, great saint of his time, Buzurg and all that. Now everybody wanted to see the Buzurg. If here the Imam of the Haram came, everybody, all and sundry, want to see. Even the aunties will see from some way they'll see. Right? They want to see, right? See, he's such a great Buzurg, such a notable person. So now, those girls, they passed a message through their father that they need to see Mawlana. Right? Mawlana says that really this thing really confused me, really put me into a fix. Because on the one side, I'm thinking, that these are people who are new in Islam, just 1-2 months that they've accepted Islam. If I'm going to be so strict, they will say that Islam is so strict and stringent that you can't even see a wali. So they may feel disorientated of Islam, you see. So I can't allow that to happen, that they may feel disorientated. But then I can't move away from my stance as well. Or to openly talk to a woman and to think, now I'm such a level of a taqwa and such a level of a wali that I won't have those feelings. That is shaitan again. I'm such a level of a wali that I'll never get those feelings. So that is shaitan again. Shaitan is saying himself, so proudly says, that if there was Rabia Basri and Hassan Basri rahmatullah in one room, I will spur one against the other. So where do you stand a chance? Where the founders of all righteousness and piety, when they say it, that we don't feel confident of ourselves, we are locked up in one room. So where do you stand? You stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. You can't take a try with this thing here. You can't take a try. You can't play around with this thing. That's why I say to most of our youngsters, you know, or even those that have passed that age, but don't play around with phones and all these things. Don't play around. Just rather bust that old thing. Bust it and take a phone with just the basic features, only to take calls, SMS, maximum. If you can help it without the SMS, then without the SMS. Only phone, that's something else. It's an emergency, you need it, bust. Even though you may have to pay a little bit more for that. But for your deen, it's worth the price. Say for the features, you're paying 50 rands. And then you have to pay 200 rands. I say it's worth it, you go for the 200 rands, then paying 50 rands with all the features. Because you're a man. Even the confines of your room, you are tempted. Like you are confined in the confines of a room and there's a girl. Aren't you tempted? There's nobody there. Are you tempted or not? You're tempted. You're definitely tempted. You want to see, you want to read. Something or other, something is driving your mind. Oh, let's see it. Let me just see it. Just for that moment, only for that moment. So I say, but it's cheaper, just bust that thing, throw the thing, take the thing with a basic function. Right? And if you have to work with this, your business is such, then you have a monitor and let your wife and your daughter be the monitor. Right? And tell them to monitor it every day or every week. They must monitor it. And they must know how to even recall it, even if I've deleted it. They must teach them how to delete, how to recall the thing, even if I've deleted the thing. On the memory, they must be able to do it. Now, you think, hey, I must go into this, now my daughter will think, this Abba of mine, this Chacha, old Chacha, what he was doing? You will think a lot of times, you are not going to go into it. But you have kept so much of security for yourself. So much of security you have kept for yourself. It's a man, brothers. Don't bluff yourself, you are a man, you will have those temptations, you will have those feelings. You can't say that you won't have those feelings. Even though it's a newspaper, even though it's a radio program, you can't say that you will not feel affected with those feelings. You will definitely feel affected with those feelings. Now you're thinking to yourself, hey, I was going in namaz, everything, there was motivation, everything was moving well. Now I see it's a roadblock, I can't move. I can't get up for tajud, no, fajr namaz, everything is going off. But why? You expose yourself to this danger. Now you don't have that yearning to read the Quran Sharif, to make zikr, to make tilawat, to get up at that time of the night. But to read the radio, to see, listen to the radio, to look at that paper with that bad photos and all that, you don't mind looking at that. And how it's corrupting your heart, Allah Pak knows. So anyway, why isn't that fixed now? On the one side now, they mustn't be disillusioned with Islam. On the other end, I mustn't move away from my stance. You're getting a customer, a very potential customer, but it's a woman. What do you do? You need to jog the mind. If you got that taqwa, that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, that love, you don't want to break the loyalty with Allah Ta'ala. But if your wife is there, and if you're really loyal to your wife, you don't want to start off with any woman there. You will tell the woman, alright, just talk to my wife, and do the business. Won't you do that? You'll have to impress on her, for whatever reason, but if she's there in your presence, you'll have to impress on her, say, I don't want to talk to you. Won't you do that? She said, hey, my husband is only for me. وہ شرک برداشت ہی نہیں کرتا میرا خاوند تو ایسا ہے ایسا سچا آدمی ہے he doesn't subscribe to any type of politicism. He's so pure for me. Won't she appreciate that? Won't she appreciate? Now this is questions of sincerity, loyalty. So Mawlana says, Allah Pak put that thought in my mind. And I asked that father, Kishore Sahab, asked him, you know, do they just want to see me or they want to discuss some things as well? So I knew what was coming up, you know. So now they wanted to discuss also. So Mawlana says, you know what, personally, I've got a natural disability. If there's a woman in front of me, you know, then I can't just talk to her. If there's a woman in front of me, I can't just talk to her. Now, the Mullah knows they are doing Islam, the head will not, the face will not be covered, whatever. So, at some point, I'm going to look at the face. So, I've got a natural disability. I can't, if a woman in front of me, I can't just talk to them. I just have that natural disability. So, you diverted the whole thing towards natural disability. So, no, we respect that. He has a natural disability, all right. We will discuss the masail, whatever we need to discuss, behind a screen. So this is what I wanted, behind a screen. But this came when Maulana showed his loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala blessed him, inspired him. This inspiration of Allah Ta'ala was not confined to Maulana only. You show that taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will lead, you will guide. This is what the meaning of وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. He will guide, He will take you forward. You show that initiative, that you are really sincere. You are also concerned. And you see how He will take you along. So you see, this is that month of Qurbani. This is the month of sacrifice. This is the month of showing love. It's a month of showing your loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your faithfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it be absolutely pure, undiluted, absolutely pure, absolutely clean. And see how Allah ta'ala will appreciate it, how Allah ta'ala will take it. Muttaqullah wa yu'allimukumullah. Allah Ta'ala then, on his side, what happens? With simple people, simple, very, very simple people, but he makes their talks and he makes their words so effective that it reaches right into the recess of the heart. He says to you something simple, very simple, very simple, but the man is absolutely sincere. He's pure, he's clean, and simple, simple words he's giving you, and your heart is getting affected. The more he's saying, and the more your heart is getting affected, the more he's talking about it, and the more your heart is getting affected. How this comes is that sincerity. How does it come? It comes with the truth, with that honesty. That loyalty that you are showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really that is something that Allah ta'ala appreciates. See, on the day of Qiyamah also, Allah Pak says, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. It is only the truth, that honesty, that will work on that day. No matter what you did and what you say about yourself, but Allah Pak speaks about that day, that is the day where the truth will really, you will see the color of truth, you will see the effect of the truth, you will see the influence of the truth, what it has done. What it can do with the power, the dynamic strength and might that it's got, you will see it on that day. So it's an occasion, it's a time, it's an opportunity that we cleanse ourselves, cleanse our souls. I don't say that we are wrong, no, I don't say we are wrong. But this is a trial. That sincerity is a trial. That sincerity is the examination. That sincerity is what Allah wants to see. You are proposing for a girl, right? Doesn't she have the right to examine all your history? Doesn't she have the right to do it? That is this person sincerely for me, or he's got other girlfriends as well? Doesn't she have the right to do it? So doesn't Allah Ta'ala have the right to see that is this person loyal to me, or he's got other partners as well? If that girl, ordinary thing, that she doesn't give you rosy, she doesn't do much for you than the little bit of satisfaction, she has got the right to examine your credentials. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have the right. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kara.